Well, this is the week of Vacation Bible School. The theme is Jesus wins the victory. Jesus is our mighty fortress. Jesus Christ is our strong tower. And all week long, the children are going to learn that their victory is in Christ. And we are the children of God. All right, we are those little children that the Bible speaks of. And we learn that our victory is in Christ. And I want to encourage all of us that we are. This is not just, okay, the people that were standing up here. This is all of us. This is a church outreach. We're praying that whole families will come into God's kingdom. That God's kingdom and will come into families' lives. And they will learn what life is really about. That life is about finding Christ. Life is understanding that Christ has won the victory. That He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. He's defeated Satan. And that we can live life the way God created us to live. And I want to encourage us all to be committed to be praying all week long. That God will plant seeds and be praying for good soil hearts, and that these seeds will be watered and that they will grow. The Bible says God makes them grow. I really appreciated Sean sharing at the Lord's table and emphasizing the acorn seed. And really, that's a lot of what we are doing. We are planting seeds, and not just this week. We're planting seeds in other people's lives, allowing Christ to use us to advance His kingdom. Well, the courage challenge for today is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, no matter the consequences. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, no matter the consequences. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, and that He rose from the dead and He achieved victory over sin, victory over death, and victory over Satan. We're called to share this message boldly, to open our mouth to share the truth of Jesus Christ. For people to come to Christ, they must hear the message. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In order for our friends, our family, our co-workers, our neighbors, everyone we come into contact with to hear the message, we must share it. The Bible says that those who believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, out of them will flow rivers of living water. And so we must share the message of Jesus Christ. And we must do this task regardless of the consequences. I recall the experience of sharing the good news in the neighborhood and perhaps being with my children, some other young people in the church, and of our enduring some boys mocking and ridiculing us. We need to remember that when people mock us as we share Christ, really, they are ridiculing Him. Jesus encouraged us in Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. One man in the Bible who underwent persecution was Stephen. And so Stephen is the champion of God that we are going to be talking about today. The champions of God, I love the champions of God because they were not superheroes. The champions of God that we see in the Bible were men and women just like us. Amen. They had sin, they had foibles, they had weaknesses. They were men and women just like us. They were ordinary men and women, but they trusted God. They trusted God to be with them. And Stephen was bold in sharing Christ with others. The Bible says that Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man who desired to serve God. In Acts 6, we are told that the early church had some relational issues. Even the early church had some family relational issues. There was a dispute that occurred between the Grecian widows and the Hebraic widows over the distribution of the food. The apostles resolved this matter in a covenantal manner. And in any family of God, there will be relational issues from time to time. God calls us to deal with these issues in the way He prescribes in the Word of God, in a covenantal way, in a loving way, in a forthright way, speaking the truth in love, and with the other person one-on-one, without destructive gossip and grumbling. Anyway, the apostles appointed certain men as deacons to distribute the food to the widows in an equitable manner. Stephen was chosen as one of these deacons to serve in this way. Stephen illustrates the biblical principle of those who are faithful in small things will be faithful in larger things. We tell the young people, we tell the students at Living Grace Christian School, that the quickest way to come into your promised land is to obey your parents. The quickest way to come into your promised land is that whatever your parents give you to do it faithfully. The quickest way to come into the promises of God in your life, whatever your teachers give you to do it faithfully. Whatever your employer gives you to do it faithfully. Whatever your pastor gives you to do it faithfully. God is the one person who sees all things. Promotion is from the Lord. And so what we are given to do, no matter how small it is, do it faithfully, and you will gradually rise in the kingdom of God. In addition to having an attitude of servanthood, Stephen was full of God's grace and power. He was used by God to work miracles. In addition, Stephen was a very wise and logical debater. When different ones started to argue and oppose Stephen, they could not match his wisdom as he was led by the Holy Spirit. Stephen illustrates the need for all of us to be studying God's Word, to be understanding more and more of God's Word, to understand what God's Word says so that we can have biblical wisdom, so that we can defend the faith, so that we can get a biblical worldview to defend the faith of Jesus Christ. When the ones opposing Stephen could not win by honest debate, they resorted to false accusations. They falsely accused him of speaking against Moses as he would proclaim Jesus Christ. And so Stephen was brought before the ruling council of Judaism. This ruling council was called the Sanhedrin. Amid the false witnesses, Stephen kept his focus on Jesus Christ. Acts 6:15 says, "All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." The Lord wants you to know that God will be with you as you share Christ. When I have had the opportunity to share Christ, to be walking in the neighborhood, be prayer walking in the neighborhood, whatever it may be, sharing a bottle of water on a hot day with people in the name of Jesus Christ, as I'm approaching people, it is one of those times where you will keenly sense the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life. How many of you have recognized that? That as you are about to share Christ with somebody, God empowers you. He gives you an extra sense of Christ's presence with you. The Holy Spirit is leading you on. There's a witness of the Holy Spirit inside you to empower you to share Christ with that person. Well, when Stephen was questioned by the high priest of the Sanhedrin, Stephen responded with a speech detailing God's working among his people. He shared the history of God's working with his people. He just went through the history. Young people, you need to know history. You need to know biblical history. You need to know history as taught in the Bible. You need to know history from a Christian perspective. He shared how God's people often rejected his offers of salvation, climaxing with this very council's rejection of Jesus the Messiah. Stephen knew God's Word. and he knew biblical history. How did he know God's Word? He knew God's Word because he had studied it. He had been taught. As God's Word says in 2 Timothy 2:15, he had studied to show himself approved unto God. Likewise, it's important for us, it's important for young people to know God, to study God's Word, to know the Word of God, and to know history from a biblical perspective. Well, when Stephen was accused by the Sanhedrin of resisting the Holy Spirit, of murdering Jesus Christ, and of receiving the law of Moses, but not obeying it, they were outraged. Acts 7:54 says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen proclaimed the word of God boldly, but those who heard it did not like what they heard. However, through their fury, Stephen stayed focused on Christ. Acts 7:55 says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen focused on Christ amid opposition. When he told the council that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, they became exceedingly angry at Stephen, forcefully taking him out of the city, and they stoned him. For sharing the word of God faithfully and boldly, Stephen became the church's first martyr, one who dies for standing for Christ. The word martyr is the Greek word for witness. Those who are willing to die for Christ. A witness shares the good news of Christ with others, whether or not they receive it. He is willing to suffer any consequences for teaching the truth of God's Word. See, when we share Christ with others, we are giving them the opportunity to spend heaven with Jesus Christ, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, to have their life changed, to have their life changed not only in the future in heaven, but have their life changed now, today, where God's kingdom comes into their life. When God's kingdom comes into a person's life, it affects that person, it affects their relationships, it affects their family, it affects everyone around them for the good. It helps us to live the way God created us to live. And we've got to understand that this world, this body, is temporary. You know, I think of those in the Middle East at the threat of groups like ISIS and children being called upon to deny Christ, or we're going to kill your parents, and they stand for Christ. Somehow they have learned, and somehow they have been taught, somehow they have embraced the fact that this world is temporary, that this body is temporary, and that I want to be in heaven. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me and who saves me, and I am not going to deny him. And yes, if I die now, I'm going to be there with heaven, with my parents, with my loved ones who have also received Jesus Christ. Amen. God said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. We are going to spend so much time in eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. That the time on this earth is just like a drop in the bucket. All right, our life is not here. This is not our eternal home. We are aliens and strangers passing through, to see Christ, to be in our eternal home. And we need to be faithful, as Stephen gives us the example, to share Christ with others. He was willing to suffer any consequences for teaching the truth of God's Word. He shared the gospel boldly, no matter the consequences. He wasn't focused on his own life. He was focused on Christ. He was willing to even die for Christ. He wasn't worried about the consequences. As he was being stoned to death, he fixed his eyes on Christ and God was with him. When you share Christ with others, you will have a keen sense of God's presence with you. You can be confident that God will give you the grace to share Christ in whatever context you are in. God will give you the grace. When Christ went to the cross, God gave him the grace. He said, the Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy set before him. Whenever God called his champions in the Word of God, he said, I will be with you. God will give you the grace. You might not think that you could face a stoning or face the cross or face the fire or face the flames right now, but God will give you the grace to share Christ, to know that His presence is with you. He will help you to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He will help you to fix your eyes on Christ. As David said, I saw the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He will give you the grace you need to face what you need to face. In Acts 7:59, it says, as they were stoning Stephen, Stephen committed himself to the Lord. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Falling on his knees, Stephen called to the Lord, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Even as he was murdered, Stephen forgave his persecutors. His action was reminiscent of Christ's request of his Father on the cross in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Stephen faithfully proclaimed Christ, who was crucified for the sin of the whole world and raised to new life. In Acts 8:1, we see that as Stephen was martyred for the faith, Saul was watching. It says Saul was there giving approval to his death. Even though Saul wasn't converted at that time by Stephen, surely Stephen was a witness to this Saul. Later, this Saul had a life-changing conversion, becoming the great Apostle Paul, whom God used to spread Christianity and write much of the New Testament. When you share Christ, there will be times when others will not receive the Word of God you share. In fact, they might outright reject and ridicule you. Even so, God calls us to share His good news forthrightly. God will be with you as you open your mouth to share Christ. He will give you the words to speak. Share with others the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and the reality of God's kingdom that teaches us to live the way we were created to live. And that includes living boldly for Christ. I've heard from research that often it takes a person as many as 5, 6, or 7 encounters with the good news of Jesus Christ before that person finally turns to Christ and gives their life over to Him and becomes saved. The Apostle Paul shared this dynamic of planting seeds in 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. The Apostle Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Don't you enjoy the grass that's growing out there, thanks to Mr. Parr and other people's efforts, and you see those seeds. It's an amazing thing, the planting of a seed. My grandpa was a farmer, all right? And to see how the land is plowed, and the rocks are taken out, and the thorns are taken out, and the soil is made into a good place, and then the seeds are planted, and the water comes, and the harvest eventually comes. It's a trusting in the Lord. And then out of that harvest, you get so many more seeds. You get so many more seeds from that harvest, and you save those seeds for the next spring to plant more seeds. God's economy is so great. God is such a great God that has given us the strategy of the seed. Every year we get the seed, and farmers get the seed, and they get more seed. They get an abundance of seed, and they plant those seeds. And then out of that crop, they get more seeds. Well, God calls us to plant seeds. God calls us to share Christ. You may not see the result happen right then. You may not see someone being changed before your eyes. But you are part of planting seeds. You are part of watering those seeds. And God makes those seeds grow. The Apostle Paul said, "The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are all called to be working in God's harvest field. Some of us plant seeds. Others of us will water those seeds. Others of us will plant other seeds. And then others of us will water those seeds. And God makes those seeds grow. The one who makes those seeds grow is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. We all need to be involved in planting seeds by sharing the gospel. If you lead someone to Christ, all right? Really, don't pat yourself on the back. If you lead someone to Christ, you may be reaping the result of someone else's seed planting. All right? One thing is for sure. If we're going to reap a harvest, we need to be involved in planting seed. And people are ripe for a harvest, as Jesus said in Matthew 9:37. The result, the harvest, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Even though Stephen, the first martyr of the church, even though Stephen didn't change the hearts of the Sanhedrin, even though Saul wasn't converted at that time, upon Stephen's death, the gospel of Jesus Christ spread. It spread as a great persecution broke out against the church. You think, you know, how is the gospel going to spread when the church is being persecuted? Well, in Acts 8:4, we find that as the Christians were dispersed, as the Christians were scattered, it says those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And so the kingdom of God spread. And that's what we see when Christianity, when persecution comes. When persecution comes, people press into Christ. People have more of a love for Christ. People say, "I need you, Christ. I am not going to deny the love of my heart, the love of my life, the one person I am depending upon," where we are really, truly dependent upon Jesus Christ. And when push comes to shove, they're not going to deny that person. They're not going to deny Christ. Our love for God becomes stronger. And so Stephen's martyrdom and the church's persecution resulted in God's kingdom advancing. Let's all stand. I challenge us today. I encourage us today to allow the Lord to use us to advance His kingdom. Be faithful to share Christ by your example and with your words, regardless of the consequences. Recognize that we all need to be involved in planting seeds. People have gone before us, just as Stephen did, to plant seeds. We need to plant seeds that others will reap after us. As we are faithful to plant seeds, we will also reap the harvest of someone else's planting of seeds. Be confident that God's word is powerful and that Christ's sacrificial love is real. That as you are sharing the love of Christ through your word, through your example, that it's not returning void. that it may seem that someone is just rejecting you outright, and you might be tempted to think, well, I guess that wasn't worth anything. It was worth something. All right? Even if that person never came to Christ, there's a spiritual dynamic that is occurring. As you're planting seed, God's word is spreading. What you sow is what you reap. As you're planting seed, there will be a spiritual return upon that planting of seed. And so know that as you're planting seed, that God will make it grow. Be bold to share His love with others. Let's just worship the Lord.